Indeed.
And Susie, may I call you Susie?
Sure.
That sounds great. Now, Ruthie, are you related in any way to Jeffrey Burnham?
I am. He's my son, and I'm his mother.
I can't wait to get into that.
That's a coincidence that he's both your son and you're his mother. That's
it
cool.
Is?
Well, why don't we take...
I can't get the laughter yoga people to laugh at my joke. That is depressing.
What joke?
Oh, I get it.
Well, you can't. You just tell us to laugh. We'll just laugh. You can say, that was the joke. Laugh now. And then we'll just fall down laughing.
Okay.
What's the joke?
Let's try it, Don. Tell a joke.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Oh, please.
I said that it was a coincidence that she is both your mother and you are her son.
That Oh, where do you get this stuff? Oh, yeah.
High five, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm busting a gut here.
Well, Laguna, you're in for a treat. We got a lively group here this morning. We're going to take a short musical break. Megan's going to take us out, and we're going to come back and talk to Jeffrey and his crew. Megan, take it away. Is it not working? Mark must have done something.
You must tell more jokes. Once upon a time.
And we're singing.
We might have to sing the music today.
It's like life, huh?
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. Are we still on the air? How about that part?
We're still on the air.
Oh, well, that's
all
good.
Right.
We'll just keep talking.
Let's just keep talking then.
Yeah.
So, Jeffrey, you have been, people see you, recognize you, I suspect, on the beach down there. Where do you go typically? Where is that place?
It's the very end.
Darling. It feels like years since it's been.
Are we going to stop real fast? Sorry,
Parker. I think we may have our music.
Let the music.
We're playing music.
Are we playing music?
We found the music.
Are we awesome?
I apologize for the interruption.
No, that's all right.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to start over.
Let's start over again. Okay. Let's roll into the music. Right. We'll come back and we'll talk with Jeffrey and his crew.
That sounds like a plan.
We're live.
The smiles returning to.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. We're in the room. We got a full house today. Mark, Don, Megan, and, of course, Jeffrey Breyer with Laguna Laugh Club. And, Jeffrey, we were talking. Most people recognize your group from where do you participate on the beach?
The northernmost end of Main Beach, just right at the beginning of Heisler Park, opposite the Bird Rock. Out there in the ocean is the Bird Rock, and then there on the sand, just the side of the tide pools, are the Laughers.
Yeah.
Every day, 8 o'clock, every day, except Saturday. Saturday's at 10 o'clock.
And it's, I'm sorry, Ruthie?
That's Saturday at 10 a.m.
Saturday at 10 a.m. And it's a free gig, right? Yeah, I mean, anybody can come down and join your group and feel completely welcomed and comfortable.
All ages, all abilities, as long as you can get to the beach and walk on the sand.
Right. A couple of people where I live show up and I think are there every morning. Dorothy, do you know Dorothy or Dot?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We love Dorothy.
Yeah. She's great. Yeah.
She's awesome.
Dorothy chose Jeffrey as her hero for the hero My Hero Project in mm-hmm. Laguna Beach.
That's right.
Dorothy, who's the mother of Jeannie Myers, one right. of the creators of the My Hero Club. And Dorothy moved down here and said, the Laguna Laughter Club, and Jeffrey is her hero. So,
yeah, Dorothy lost her husband, and she realized she would be a good candidate to become depressed. And so her family said, you know, Mom, you ought to just go to that laughter club that's there on the beach right below your apartment and just laugh, get some new friends, and then you'll be less likely to get sad. And that's basically what happened. You know, she still has her appropriate sadness when she thinks of the loss, but she doesn't get mired in it.
Right.
Instead, she has this group that she can laugh with as often as she wishes. Dorothy probably comes four or five times a week when she's in town. She travels from time to time. But yeah, she laughs up a storm.
And so you were featured in the My Hero Film Festival?
Yeah, they did a short film on us. And
very nice. And, well, you know, I wrote this down. You've also appeared on Geraldo, Oprah, CNN, the Discovery Channel. I even think Dancing with the Stars, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I coached Harry Hamlin. They told Harry Hamlin he was too stiff and he needed to loosen up
with
his dancing. So he got a laughter coaching session, which, you know, we had about 5-10 minutes on the show. And then he survived another week. Ow!
So why the national exposure for a club that encourages laughing? Why the national exposure? Why do you
it's actually a worldwide phenomenon.
Okay.
It wasn't something we just made up here in California. It originated in India in 1995. A doctor trained in the Western medical tradition, his name is Madan Kataria, MD, collaborated with his wife, a yoga teacher of traditional yoga, and they came up with this technique whereby anyone and everyone can laugh abundantly for a nice long period of time, so they'll get the health benefits of laughter. And you can laugh even if you don't feel good, even if you're bored. We don't even need jokes. Sorry, nothing personal. You know, jokes are fun. They're fine. But that's not what we use at a laughter club to get us to laugh. The most important ingredient is willingness.
Yeah.
If you're willing to laugh and you're with other people who are likewise willing to laugh, then we just have these lightly structured laughter exercises. And as we do them, we look in each other's eyes and realize, oh, there are other people laughing and interacting playfully with me. The laughter quickly becomes real. And then we laugh for about 20 minutes. That's like the RDA length of time to really change your physiology so your body's chemistry becomes the chemistry of happiness, which is the opposite of the chemistry of stress. We know that stress is bad for our health. It erodes our health. But being happy, laughing, is really good for your health.
Right. And so there are physiological changes as a result of laughing for a period of, you said, 20 minutes?
Yeah. We actually laugh for about 30 or 40 seconds, and then we take a 10, 20-second break, do some stretching, some other breathing, and then we continue. So it takes about 15 laughter exercises to fill a 20-minute segment. Plus, we do a thing we call laughter meditation, where there's no exercise, just do whatever comes out, and people have their eyes closed for that. So they hear others laughing, but they don't see each other laughing. But yeah, the physiology is proven. It sounds backed up by science. When you laugh, your blood vessels dilate. They open wider, which makes for easier flow of blood. And that's good for your blood pressure, so it's good for your heart. Heart doesn't have to work so hard to push the blood through. Plus, when you're laughing, you're breathing out. Let's demonstrate. 1, 2, 3, laugh. Very good. Let it go. Now,
wow, that felt good.
We'll do a longer demonstration. I just wanted to show that laughing consists of breathing out while making a noise. Then after you breathe out, you breathe in.
Right.
So when you laugh, you get more oxygen into your bloodstream and better flow, better delivery of the oxygen because your blood vessels open wider, but good for your heart. Also, when you laugh, you produce the body's natural pain relievers, endorphins, or at least something that operates just like endorphins, and that has you feel less pain and creates the chemistry in your brain of feeling good. So laughing regularly is a natural antidepressant, or you might say it's a preventative.
Yeah.
So you don't need antidepressant drugs.
Right.
Instead, just get together with friendly people and laugh every day.
I love that. Ruthie.
Yes, sir.
I've got to believe your son, Jeffrey, was a very creative young child, yes?
Absolutely. unique.
Thanks, Mom.
And so growing up, when he started to get into this sort of laughing business. I'm going to call it a business because in a sense it is. What was your initial reaction?
Good for him.
Yeah?
Absolutely. He's got a wonderful laugh, and the face, his face lights up and makes me and others just a smile starts to come over their face.
Right.
Looking at him and being with him because he is an uplifting person. Aside from being my son.
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah.
No, really. He's smart. He's handsome. He's good looking.
Very handsome. Very good looking.
Available.
And you're both wearing your Laguna Laughter Club shirts, that's which I love. One is a tie-dye that Jeffrey's wearing. The other is a blue shirt with sort of a happy face, is that?
Yeah.
That's our mascot. We call him Lenny the Laughing Son.
Lenny the Laughing Son. Very nice.
Thank you.
Are there groups like yours? All over?
All over the world.
Really?
Right now there are YouTube videos representing at least 75 or 80 countries.
Wow.
We are fortunate that our local Laguna Laughter Club is the video that represents the United States of America. Yahoo! Yay. Although there are hundreds. In the USA, there are hundreds and hundreds of laughter clubs. In India, where it started, there are thousands. And you can find it all over the world.
We have one of the things our show does is we have a lot of people who podcast us and a lot of people who listen online who may not be nearby. So what's the best way for them to access a laughter club near them?
International headquarters, which is based in India, keeps a record of laughter clubs all over the world. So their website is laughteryoga.org.
Okay.
Laughter, LAUGHTER. Yoga, Y-O-G-A dot O-R-G. No spaces, wonderful. No dashes or anything. LaughterYoga.org. And then there's you click to find a club near you. Mm-hmm. Then you go by country, then state or province, and then city nearby.
How many people you say participate around the world in this laughter?
About 250,000 is our current estimate, and that might be very conservative because there's no strict supervision of how many laughter clubs there are. Mm-hmm. And one person might start 5-10 laughter clubs in their city, and then they don't report to headquarters. Mm-hmm. So,
and how many people locally would you say participate?
Well, we typically get 5 to 10 people each day of the week and 15 to 30 people on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So we're averaging about 75 people a week. And a handful are the same people who come just about every day. Other people come maybe once a week, once or twice a week. And then we have people who come whenever they're in town, like they live nearby and they take their vacation in Laguna. And then when they come to Laguna, every single day they're here, they come and they laugh with us. And then they go away for 6 months back to Oakland or wherever they live. And then when they come again, it's like, oh, our old buddies are back. And they say, yeah, we're here for another 2 weeks. And we see them every day. And it's great. But because when people laugh together, this chemistry of happiness makes you feel friendly towards the other people, even if they're strangers, even if you don't know their names or if they don't even speak your language.
Right.
So that makes you feel like they're a family. A family of choice.
And how would you encourage people to participate? Because oftentimes people have a hard time getting over the hurdle of just going to participate, right? If I want to encourage, let's say, Mark Miller here to come down one morning to go through the laughing experience, what could I say to Mark? Because I think he needs it. What could I say to Mark?
He's smiling.
What could I say to Mark? Come on over here.
You've been court ordered.
That probably wouldn't get him laughing.
You can just pretend like you're laughing. We like to pretend. You don't have to really laugh.
Right.
But even if you just pretend. I guarantee you, pretending to laugh, then you will really laugh, whether you want to or not.
So why did you join?
I heard about this in 2006, and then a couple months later in August, in October, Jeffrey did a weekend training session. And I knew immediately this is something I wanted to be involved in. And then a couple of months later, I heard about, the Cordelia Knott Wellness Center in the city of Orange. It's a cancer treatment center. And they wanted someone to come there and teach laughter yoga. So I thought it was nearby. So I led a group there for 4 years and with people in various stages of cancer. And then a few of the neighbor people came also, so not everyone had that disease. But what I found was people going through cancer treatments were able to relieve some of the pain by doing our mantra. And our mantra is clapping your hands, your hands together. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha.
Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha.
So you do that while you're in pain, And I guarantee you, your pain goes away.
Now,
and yeah.
Let me. I'm curious about this. So you taught a laughter class at this cancer center,
right?
For 4 years,
right?
And you you found that they experienced a lessening of the pain
exactly
that they were undergoing as a result,
right? And not just the pain, but a lot of the fear that they carried,
stress.
Right?
Because you know we lost people,
right?
We had people come in great pain and. I bonded very closely with some of them, and it was a hard thing to go through, but it's part of life. And some of them even said, you know, laugh at my funeral. I don't want you to be sad forever. And then I taught this at a nursing home for about 18 months, and that was great because these old people come down the hallway in their wheelchairs. The thing they loved the best was speaking gibberish. Right. Because these people spent days with each other and maybe ran out of conversation. So they would just talk gibberish to each other, which made them laugh.
Right.
And just, let's show them gibberish.
Are you ready?
Everyone in this room is laughing now.
You can't help laughing. Doing that.
I don't think that sounds much different than our usual set.
Maybe so.
And what you notice even here right now with strangers, the smiles came on all of our faces looking at one another and then looking, what are they doing? I mean, this is, do I call this weird, that being not saying it nicely, and yet the smile is there, the face, the eyes are twinkling, looking at one another, and then a little bigger smile, and then there's a little.
The energy level has elevated. We've lightened up. I love that.
And to one another, we strangers on this side of the mic and you on the other side of this mic, I feel like, oh yeah, we laugh together. It's nice to see you. I feel relaxed with you.
Yeah.
You know, another great thing is somebody cuts you off on the freeway and you just say to yourself, ho, ho, ha, 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 ho, ho,
ho, ha, ha, ha.
And it gives you a chance to think about your reaction. I'm not going to react negatively to that.
Yeah. Just don't laugh at him. You may get the different result from the driver, right?
Yeah.
If you start laughing at him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Sue, you said something interesting about, I want to go back to this cancer center that you participated in. And we all know people are suffering in this world.
Right.
There are people who are homeless. There are people who have addictions. There are people who suffer from cancer. There are all sorts of tragedies in this world. And to get to the level where you want to laugh is a little bit odd, right? A little bit
odd.
Does
that seem odd to you?
Well, if I hadn't met you before, I would say yes.
Yeah.
But having met you the last time and then again now, I would say no. But
well, there's an important distinction that we make in this work, and it's the difference between laughing at something and laughing with life or laughing with other people. And yes, of course, you don't want to laugh at injustice or cruelty or pain or suffering. Right. But you can laugh even though that's happening. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, someone cut me off.
Right.
I'm going to be 5 seconds later. It's like you can kind of get things in perspective.
Right.
And also, it's not to invalidate the things that are problems. It's just giving yourself a little handle over how you react to them.
Right.
Sometimes the stress response is appropriate. If you're being chased by a man-eating tiger, we don't recommend you just stand there and laugh because it'll eat you.
Right.
And that's not right. You want to scream, yell, run, have the stress response, have that adrenaline rush. Get away from that thing.
Right.
Now, when you get away from the stress, then you want to laugh, get rid of, you know, be with people who care about and love you and say, oh, I'm glad you're here now. Yeah, I'm glad I'm here now, too. Woo! Because human beings are not meant to live in stress. We're not meant to live in the tiger's den with things trying to eat us and kill us. But often we do live in an environment where there's lots of stress happening. The television is blaring, telling us what we should be afraid of.
Yeah.
Not, of course, the radio, not if you listen to 93.5.
No,
but maybe you listen to one of those other stations, one where they say, you should be scared about this or worried about this or proactive about this. And you guys, well, you know, maybe. But we have stresses happening, even just loud noises gives us the stress response. So we need a technique, a way to become free of the stress and undo that negative body chemistry. And laughter offers that.
And you're trained in this specific area. Can you kind of just briefly describe your training and what sort of
Well, there's two levels of education in the laughter yoga certified field. The initial level is a two-day program. You become a certified laughter yoga leader. And I offer this training about every 3 or 4 months in Southern California and other parts of the world. And then a graduate level of education is usually 5 days, sometimes longer, intensive program where you become a certified laughter yoga teacher, or we would probably use the word trainer, because then you can give the two-day leader trainings. You can train others and give them certification. And in every case, what you learn is how to lead other people in laughter exercises. In the more advanced training, you work even more on how to laugh by yourself and how to have more breathing techniques, more yogic techniques to integrate the spirit, the yogic spirit that's behind laughter yoga. Because we use the word yoga with laughter yoga not because we do classic yoga poses, asanas, and laugh even though we're in those poses, but we get into the spirit of what yoga is about, which is the union, the connection between mind, body, spirit, emotions, so that we become a holistic being. Mm-hmm. We become an enlightened or more lightened, a source of light kind of being. And that's what all yoga is about. Even karma yoga, where you do actions that are divinely inspired or to support the world community. Like Terrell was just here. I heard him as I was rushing over. And Terrell is a person who does what we would call karma yoga. He does his actions not because he gets on the cover of Life magazine, even though that might happen. He does it because in his heart, he feels like this is what needs to be done. Speak out against injustice, speak up for your rights. And by donating his services to humanity, he is being in union with his body, his mind, his spirit, right? So that's what we do with laughter yoga. Get in touch with our true nature through laughing with other people and sharing joy.
Well, so let's do this. We're going to take a musical break, but I want to go out with Megan. Hold on, Megan. I want you on the microphone for this one. I want Megan to speak gibberish like you're telling a joke. This is one of your techniques, correct?
That's right.
And then when you're done telling the joke, we're all going to laugh at the gibberish that you're speaking. Can we handle this?
Wow, thanks for putting me on the spot here.
No problem. So you're going to speak gibberish, and all of a sudden we're going to just start laughing, and you can carry us out to music after that.
Okay. Wabada, uda, kura,
bura. Wabada, bada! Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
See what you do. Everybody smiles at you. Hey, so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody smiles at you.
To KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only Laguna's only FM radio station.
So
we're here with Jeffrey Breyer, Ruthie, and Sue. And Don, you were having an interesting conversation with Jeffrey at the break.
Well, I'm really interested in some of the things Sue was saying about working with special populations. And I want to thank Jeffrey for his work. He's been coming to Friendship Shelter and working with our residents on Tuesdays. And tell us how that's going, working with homeless people. You talk about lots of different things. I mean, we've got people with addiction, we have people with mental health issues, and we have people who haven't had a lot of success in groups always. So tell us about that dynamic.
Well, it's really neat at the Friendship Shelter. We have a class every Tuesday at 5:00, and the population is quite diverse.
Yeah.
You know, because people become homeless for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Right.
Number one reason is they lost their home.
Exactly.
And some people lose their home because, you know, they just lost their job and poof, mm-hmm. in a month they're out. And others have, you know, more pressing ongoing problems. So one thing that's noticeable is people have different levels of comfort, for example, making eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And some people just don't feel good looking right into the eyes of another person. So we have ways of getting around that. You know, like in India, one reason why when people go to ceremonies in India, there's a little red spot in their forehead above and between their eyes. It's because that's what they sometimes call the third eye or the true seeing eye. So a person that doesn't feel comfortable looking into another person's eyes can look up there in their forehead, right? And that way they don't have the intimacy, you know, the vulnerability of looking right in their eyes or the threat of looking right into someone else's eyes. It's just a perceived social thing. But instead they look up. And when someone looks at your forehead, what do? You look up. Like, what are they looking at? And when you look up at your own forehead, you're actually raising your own energy on an energy level. You're raising your consciousness going, oh, what is my higher thoughts right now? So in that way, it's really a gift.
Cool.
And you can feel comfortable looking into or above the eyes of anyone. So what we're finding at Friendship Shelter is it's just kind of like what happens on the beach. Some people come every single session. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to miss Tuesdays. That's when I can get rid of some stress and feel more comfortable with my neighbors. You know, some of these people they're actually roommates. And then other people just come and check it out every once in a while. Like the staff people tend to come in, have two laughs, and then they go back to work. And the residents
stay. Well, sometimes that's because we ask them to.
Yeah, the other staff people say, get back to work.
Yeah, they're on the clock. But I'm curious because one of the things that we really pride ourselves with at Friendship Shelter and really strive for is to create community. And we were talking during the break about how an experience in a laughter yoga class builds team and builds sort of an intimacy and a trust. Can you talk a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, things? Well, a message that laughter gives is, it's okay, it's safe, it's all right to just be where you are now. Because the sound you're hearing all around you and the faces you're seeing are going, oh, you know, this is not the stress thing where you have something to be worried about. This is the, I'm with people I can trust, people I enjoy being with. And so a deeper message of laughter is that you're being a little bit vulnerable. Right, you're saying, well, this person could ridicule me, this person could start laughing at me. But with the type of laughter we do, we don't laugh at anyone or anything. We laugh with each other. And so that little bit of vulnerability is rewarded by the other person going, yeah, me too. I'm being a little vulnerable too. And then what do you do with that? You laugh through it and you go, oh, I can be friends with this person. And you don't need a joke. You don't need comedy. You don't need to laugh at someone else. You know, like someone else is the comedian or the movie that you're laughing at, that poor guy who's, you know, fallen down the mine shaft or whatever. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's just you laugh like little kids who are having so much fun playing together. They're friends. And nice. It's very much like that. You know, you can go to a playground and take a little kid when there's lots of other little kids playing and go ahead and play with the other kids. And they'll go play for an hour. And then they'll come back and you say, how was it? And they say, oh, it was great. I made 20 new friends. Because just by playing and laughing, they create friends. And that's the kind of experience that we like to offer.
Right. I have to say, Jeffrey, as someone whose office is right next door to where you do laughter yoga on Tuesdays, I really look forward to it. And even if I'm not able to participate and drop in, the amount of laughter that fills the whole floor. I mean, you can hear it outside on the balcony. You can hear it in my office. You can hear it down in the kitchen. It changes the mood in the entire building, regardless if you're directly involved in the experience or not.
Absolutely.
You're not working that hard, Mark.
He is. I've seen him. He's, you know, bent over his desk.
He's a hard worker.
People are working hard at the Friendship Shelter. You know,
oh, sure. Of course they are.
Coaching each other and themselves, and it's, you know, it's serious. It's great.
We probably need to do a better job of letting our staff who don't work at that time know about it, because it is very stressful work. And could be very helpful for them.
I was on a trip recently, and there were six of us in a car, and there was some tension in the car because, you know, two people wanted to go left and two people wanted to go right. And I said to them, let's fake laugh at this particular moment as a suggestion of you. And so everybody participated, and it was probably 45 seconds later, and it was spontaneous laughing now, and we couldn't stop. Yeah. It was just the release of all that tension was coming out, and then we were legitimately laughing, and we couldn't stop. It was amazing the way that worked. And all the tension after that had been gone, was gone.
And you feel so good.
And you feel so good afterwards, yeah.
And light and... Well, that I don't have a problem with life, right?
Right.
I loved, we were coming here this morning, and Jeffrey walked past me, and he says, the toilet backed up, and the kitchen sink is flooding. And it's like, we have to leave. You know, we laugh.
Did you laugh at that moment?
Yes, sure. Coming over tomorrow. This is the time you want your plumbing to fail. You've got a lot of people coming over.
So what are you going to do?
Right.
You're right. Nothing. Right then and there. It's too early. It's too late. It's
But you still have the problem to face when you get home?
Yeah.
Have you worked with other groups that deal with addiction? Because what you're talking about is sort of the acceptance of what you can't control. The first part of the Serenity Prayer is kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah. I like to actually do a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Because there's a wonderful short film now by a guy, Albert Nirenberg. I got to say his name right. He made a film called Laughology, which looked at laughter. But he did a program with a bunch of people who were in addiction recovery, recovering from drugs, alcohol. And they found, it's this wonderful short video, that the chemistry that people get from taking drugs, making their brain feel happy,
yes,
you can duplicate that chemistry with laughter. But taking drugs has very negative social consequences. You're so into the drug or the alcohol that you don't care about your social environment. It's like it falls apart around you. But laughter, this kind of laughter, is built in supportive social relationships. I'm laughing because you're laughing with me. Let's support each other. Keep up the laughter.
And is that dopamine? Are you talking about dopamine, Jeffrey?
Yeah, dopamine in the nucleus accumbens of the brain. It's not just dopamine. It's where the dopamine is.
Wow.
Yeah. Serotonin, dopamine. That's a whole other conversation.
How's this work in the corporate world when people are financially strapped, when people are, you know, 8 to 6, you know, 8 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night working, driving 2 hours of traffic? Last thing they probably want to do is
get rid of their stress and feel happy. That's the first thing they ought to do.
But do you do corporate training as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The list goes on and on. But the point, when you were sharing, I just wanted to share this, that one of the most popular places where laughter clubs happen in Europe is after the work day, often on a train stop, because a lot more people in Europe commute by train rather than by automobile. But also people come by automobile. So imagine, on your route home from the big city, you get off the train, and near the train station, there's a place where they have a laughter session. And then you get back on the train, you go home. Now when you get home, you feel happy, you got rid of the stress of the day, right? So very concrete benefits of relieving stress, and there they do it more there. We like here in Laguna Beach to start our day laughing, because that makes it easier when things come up during the rest of the day. We go, oh, plumbing backed up, ha, 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 ha. Oh, my favorite picture fell down off the wall and the frame smashed into a million pieces, ha, 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 ha. And first you clean up the mess, and then you laugh because it's nothing. It's not worth staying stressed out about.
Very nice. Could you lead us in another laughing sort of, and I want Megan to participate, I want Mark to participate in this, and then we'll roll to another musical interlude.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to do forgiveness laughter. So you'll do a gesture of forgiveness to the other people, and if you're doing this at home, you could do it to, you know, to your steering wheel. Although, why would you have a steering wheel at home? You could go to the pictures on the wall. If you're driving, you could just with one hand, you do it to the rear view mirror. But whatever you're looking at, you're doing laughing while you're doing a gesture of forgiveness. Like, oh, of course I forgive you, drinking cup. Oh, before, Mom, of course I forgive you for popping my zits when I was 6 years old. Whatever. So you're like a sense of letting go and forgiving with whatever you're aware of in your environment.
So
okay?
I'm not sure I'm following, though. Okay, am I thinking please. Of something specific that I'm supposed to forgive at this moment?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just whatever. Just do it in the here and now.
Gotcha.
Whatever you see, whatever you're aware of, you know, you can be surprised. Oh, there's a screw on the table over here. I'll forgive. Oh, I forgive that. The okay. important thing is to laugh while you have a sense of forgiveness and forgive many things. Are you ready, everyone?
Ready.
Yeah. Forgive. Oh!
Jeffrey Breyer with the Laughter Club.
Everybody say, everybody do. And a place will be mine. I'm merry, merry, wanna be with you. And
listening to 93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. Jeffrey, can you tell us a little bit about the Laughter Yoga Institute, how people could get a hold of you, what they can expect when they contact you, that sort of thing?
I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
So it's a virtual institute. We don't have an actual structure. Most of my classes are offered on the campus of Irvine Valley College, where I'm also on the faculty, as is Ruth. And sometimes we offer training in the community, and we're maybe working out with a local hotel to have training locally. But my website is lyinstitute.org.
That's say it again.
lyinstitute.org. Or people can just call me on the phone, 949-376-1939. That's a Laguna Beach phone number, 376-1939. And
what's available to people?
Well, we have a regular training, the two-day Laughter Yoga Leader Training. So with that, you go out and you start laughter clubs, spread this good news and get people laughing. You can go into corporates, you can go to prisons, you can go to anywhere in the world, just because wherever people gather together, they usually have stress, and this gets rid of the stress and makes them friendlier, healthier people. So the advanced training, the teacher training, I offer 3 or 4 times a year. We also offer a gibberish coach training. Become a certified gibberish coach. That's a wild training. The instruction is in English, but most of the exercises are in gibberish. And you learn to speak 5 or 6 different kinds of gibberish. Foreign language gibberish, baby gibberish, just nonsense noises, gibberish, etc.
Right.
So,
don't also, spit on the mic, please.
And then we also do all kind of, you know, social programs. We're at the Friendship Shelter. I teach 2 different senior centers weekly, and then whatever comes up. In fact, we wanted to share, we were talking during the break, my mom and I, that one of my students lives in Mexico, and he's engaged by the governments of both Mexico and Venezuela, where he goes to prisons.
Wow.
And his program is called, I think I'm going to say it wrong, forgive me, yeah, Desencadena su Alegría, which means set free your happiness. Mm-hmm. Because many of these prisoners, you know, they're stuck. They're going to be there 10, right, 20, 30 years, but in their hearts, they can still be free. And so the technique they use is laughing, interacting with the other prisoners, which makes it a much less stressful place. Prisons are usually a very stressful place to be.
Right.
And when the prisoners are happier, then the guards are happier in the whole place. You know, like you said, the place lightens up around people who are laughing. So that's one of my students of whom I'm particularly proud. I'm going to cry now.
I just was remembering that way back when I was very young, I volunteered at a federal prison in Texas and worked with their children's center, and relieving that stress for parents who have children visiting would be particularly helpful, I would think. That would be a special population to work with, would be the kids that are visiting parents there.
And there have been laughter clubs have been started at senior centers, offered through Irvine Valley College, but through many senior centers. So there you have welcome laughter sessions.
Are there any enlightened school districts doing this within schools?
In India, they have. There's a few people who are hired by the government, and they go to a couple of schools each day and lead laughter sessions.
That's amazing.
And the administration of the schools really like it. They usually have a session in the morning, so the children are happy in school all day, and then they have a session at the end of the school day. So when the children go home and the parents say, "How was school?" the children go, "Oh, school was wonderful. I had so much fun. I love school." So, you know, now the relationship between the parents and the administration is good because the children are happy.
How would you say laughter has gotten you through, and I'll open this up to anybody really, how laughter has gotten you through a rough period in your life, Sue?
In 2007, I was attacked by a very large dog, jumped me, and when I fell down, it broke my back and my wrist. And when I got to emergency, the doctor came in with a big needle and wanted to give me a pain shot. I said, "No, thank you. I'm going to laugh through the pain." And he said, "Well, whatever." Honestly, I started going, "Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha." Did that off and on for 6 hours. And it just relieved my pain. It got me through. There was a couple of years of recovering from that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But I was constantly, "Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha." And if it hadn't been for that, I'd probably be addicted to painkillers and who knows what else. But
Jeffrey, are some people more likely to be sort of depressed in their lives? Are there biochemical things going on in certain people that aren't going on in others? That's why they kind of go to the antidepressants, right?
Right. Well, mm-hmm. The way that I like it that a lot of scientists put it, is our genetics load the pistol, but our environment pulls the trigger. And our environment is not just the toxins in the air and the water, although that's part of it. It's also the toxins in our life, like our relationships, right? So, yes, some people will be more predisposed to depression, some more predisposed to addiction, because, you know, everyone wants to be happy. And how do we get there? And how do we, what stops us? So it behooves us to find the healthiest possible ways to have our brains be happy, have our lives be happy, right? And we know that drugs and booze are temporary fixes, mm-hmm. and antidepressants may be effective, but we suggest everyone try and, you know, find something that works, that contributes to your life and that contributes to life in general. Now, we happen to be strong advocates of this path, which is the laughter path, and some, for some people, it's not the right path. They might want a more serious path. You know, they might want to focus on study, writing, contributing that way. And there's times when you want to raise your fist and say, you know, we're going to march the streets on this. This is not a laughing time.
Right.
But the great thing is, after you march in the streets, raising your fist and saying, no, this injustice we'll no longer tolerate, then you get in the bus to go back to the parking lot, and then you laugh, going, whoa, we did it. The cops didn't bust us this time. Right. And then with your friends, your fellow protesters, your fellow idealists, visionaries, you share joy.
Can you create real happiness by faking it, do you think?
Well, you can definitely create the chemistry of happiness by faking it.
Nice.
And what's the difference between the real thing and the fake thing? So, for example, if you actually win the lottery and you have in your hand the ticket that says you're a millionaire, you'll probably go, yay, hooray, whoopee, yahoo! Now, if you pretend as an exercise that you're holding a ticket that says you've won the lottery and you act as though you're a millionaire and you're with 20 other people who are doing the same thing and you're all going, yay, yo, you did it, me too, yay, you create the same chemistry. Now, the money will last a little longer probably. the chemistry, but that's okay. Come back the next day and do the chemistry again.
I suspect everybody dreams, I can't say everybody, but most people dream of perhaps one day winning the lottery and spending all this money on elaborate trips. Let's do that exercise. Let's pretend as though we've... How does this work exactly?
So you reach into a pocket or even anywhere that you can imagine you've got a ticket. And then you pick it up and you look at it and you realize you've won and you're rich. And you celebrate and laugh and give each other a high five and just go put your thumbs up in the air. Are you ready to win the lottery?
Ready.
Ready? Okay. Get it. Whoa.
I may wanted to win $1 million.
We just won $1 million.
Yeah. I laughed all the way here. It got over my nerves. And you know, I know how to talk gibberish.
Uh-oh.
No. Hit the guy. Hit the gal. Hit the gar. You the goo. To the gay. To the ex. To the guy. To the three, four, five.
Yay! Tookie moogie wonga wonga. Who was that?
Hey, can laughter yoga bring world peace?
Well, if we can get the right people laughing together, yes, absolutely. Because when people laugh together, even if they have nothing else in common, they don't speak the same language, you know, they don't believe the same things, when they laugh, they become friends. They have fun. So beliefs are secondary. Every human being wants to be with other human beings that they feel they can trust and enjoy being with. And laughter does that. Laughter makes that message. Oh, I can be with you. I can trust you. I can enjoy being with you. Poof. Mm-hmm. So if we get enough people laughing, we can have peace on Earth. Dr. Kataria, the creator of this work, estimates 1%. If we can get 1% of the human population to be laughing, there'll be a ripple effect in the entire world. Yeah. So how many? What's that? 700 million or something? I don't know. But so if we're not there yet,
it's a good start.
That's a good start. Yeah. Even just 20 or 30 people's good.
I'm curious, when you're teaching on campus, what is it? What do you instruct in?
On the Friendship Shelter campus?
No, on you said on Irvine.
Oh, Irvine Valley. Well, as a member of the faculty, I teach traditional yoga, laughter yoga, and I teach a creative writing class. And I also have some of my training programs. I have as a special community education class on the campus of IVC.
So you do laughter yoga on the campus?
That class is actually held in the community.
Oh, really?
It's because it's through the Emeritus Department, which offers classes and venues scattered throughout the community. That class is at the Rancho Senior Center in Irvine.
Got Jeffrey teaches a laughter yoga class here in Laguna. No, used to teach a class here in Laguna Beach, a laughter yoga class. Teaches one at Lakeview. The creative writing class is at Lakeview Senior Center. The laughter yoga class is at Rancho Senior Center in Irvine. So he takes it out into the community.
I keep moving. In fact, for what it's worth, we have a new, relatively new senior and community center here in Laguna Beach, the Suzy Q.
Yeah.
And when it first opened, the very first class that was held Monday morning was a laughter yoga class. So the very first class at the Suzy Q was the sound of people laughing and filling the halls with joyous laughter. Pretty cool, huh?
I'm curious about the physiological, like, the exercise component of this. I like to go to see comedians. And so when I go to a great comedian and do like a 90-minute show, I am exhausted in a good way afterwards. That laughter is very, it uses up a lot of energy, true? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, it's really a choice. You know, how much you laugh. It is actually a choice. Because if, for example, you were in pain, you recently had surgery and your chest hurt, you might go to the same comedian, mm-hmm. but you'll suppress the full expression of your laughter because you don't want to hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. So you might go, oh, he's so good. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, can she actually get away with that? Mm-hmm. Now, when you're feeling better, you can rip-roar back and rock back and forth in your chair. So that kind of laughter is going to burn more calories and make you feel like you've got more of a workout. Mm-hmm. And what we do in our laughter sessions is we invite people to participate at whatever level they feel comfortable.
Got it.
So we have a lady, Dorothy, who comes frequently. She's 86, and she doesn't move very quickly, and she doesn't run around in the circle. So she'll be laughing. Ah, ha, ha, ha. You have to get up close to her to hear that she's laughing, but she is. Then we'll have someone like me who, when the laughter exercise is, you're walking two dogs on two different leashes and two different hands. I'll roll all around and jump on the grass and, you know, climb up the rocks and run circles around Dorothy. Dorothy's just standing there going, ha, 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 ha. And me, I'm running around like a crazy guy. Now, I'm going to burn a lot more calories. Right. I'll have a more aerobic workout. But Dorothy's still going to get relief of her pain, improve body chemistry, brain chemistry, less, you know, that serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, so she becomes a happy person.
I teach as well, and I'm wondering if I opened up my classes with one of these exercises, if that would lead to better learning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's documentation about this, especially in India. That's mm-hmm. another reason why they have laughter sessions every day mm-hmm. at schools in India, because they find it improves students' self-confidence, mm-hmm. ability to think, get rid of stress, which makes it hard for them to, you know, taking an exam is usually a stressful experience. Mm-hmm. Being in the stress response is not good for taking an exam. Mm-hmm. When you take an exam, you want to have comfort, be able to access the subtle parts of your memory, and stress isn't for that. Stress is for get away from the tiger before it eats you.
Right.
Your blood goes to your big muscles, your legs, and your arms. So you either run away, flee, or fight the thing off. So laughter will help people to relax, have more effective use of their brain, breathe better, think more clearly. Mm-hmm. I would recommend at least 5 minutes, not just one.
Gotcha.
And
then
one,
are you always
not too much
on? I mean, whenever I see you in public, and you seem always on, and I'm wondering if, you know, once you're not in public and you go into your room, you're sort of, you know, you're in a corner sort of by yourself. Or
Uh-oh.
Is it always this way for you?
I think Ruth should testify. What's Jeffrey like at home?
Well, I would say
serious man.
99.5% of the time he is sparkly, smiling.
Wow.
He walks out of his bedroom singing in the morning.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, but the 8 hours a day I'm at the computer typing articles, writing books, cursing when the things don't go right. Okay, so I'm not 100% happy camper.
Right.
No.
All right.
I admit it. But I don't stay stressed out for long.
That's good. Like,
can I tell you a real quick story?
Yep.
Okay, so I was driving along. I was going to get to a regular yoga class, and then I heard sirens.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, sirens, stress response. Should I slam on the brakes? Should I speed up? I look around. Nothing's weird about the traffic. why isn't anyone else reacting to the sirens? And then I realized it was my radio. There was a piece of music on the radio, and everyone in the orchestra was going, yeah, yeehaw, happy birthday. It was rodeo. So I realized I had the stress response, which wasn't going to help me become a better yoga teacher. Right. So I said, I got to get rid of this stress reaction. My heart's beating fast. I'm all stressed out. So I went, oh, I know, I'll laugh. Right. And I laughed for about 40 seconds. And I took a breath, and I checked in. I said, that wasn't enough. I need to do a little more. So I laughed again for about 30 seconds. And then I checked in, took a breath, and I said, okay, that did it. I nailed it. The stress response is gone. Now I'm a contented, ready to do yoga class guy. Plus, I had a story about how I made the stress of thinking a siren had happened disappear by laughing for about a minute and a half.
Well, we have 30 seconds. Can you lead us out with an exercise? And could you make sure to include Mark and Megan here because they've been on the peripheral. Right?
So we're going to do cell phone laughter. You pretend you're holding your cell phone to your ear or you're listening to the earpiece. And whatever
Mark
you hear,
his.
It makes you laugh hysterically. And if you can, if your hands are free, you offer your phone to someone else and they listen to whatever you had and then they laugh too. Ready with your cell phones? Pretending?
Ready.
Go.
We're out of here. Adam is coming up. KX93.5 FM. You've been listening to The Friendship Show. Jeffrey Breyer. Thank you, Ruthie. Thank you, Sue, for everything. Megan, take us away.